Hey y'all, what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk with Naj. I'm Naj, the host. Today I have Woodward Academy's head coach, John Hunt, on. Today we're going to be talking about Woodward Academy and their program going into next season, talking about the season they had this year, and what's kind of the ultimate goal. So, coach, tell me a little bit about yourself, a little bit of a background, how long you've been coaching, and what's been your favorite thing thus far?
Goodness. Been coaching for about 34 years, I believe. It's my 12th year here at Woodward Academy. Been very blessed. It's actually the longest place I've ever stayed coaching wise. Prior to getting here, I think the longest I ever stayed at a coaching spot was 6 years at my very first job at Buchholz High School down there in Gainesville, Florida. But I had some opportunities, coached a little bit in college, had a couple years in the NFL, which was awesome and great experiences, and then helped me, grow as a coach and use all the things that I've learned here, since I've gotten to Woodward.
Got you. And then just quick on the NFL and college ranks, where were some places, what were some of the stops there? And
I coached, I think in total about, I'm trying to remember to be accurate. I think it probably, including my graduate assistantship, I coached about 11 years with Coach Spurrier at Florida, and then at the Redskins, and then at South Carolina. And so that was a great experience. Very fortunate.
Yes, sir. So let's talk about last season, coach. 11-2, finishing the season. You guys went out in the semifinal round. Just how would you rate last season? Was it a success in your eyes?
I believe so. We've been blessed the past couple of years with some incredibly good senior leadership, and they've gotten out there, and the team has really done a great job following them. And I was real proud of the work the seniors did. And then obviously it led into a really good season. Now, certainly, we'd like to win them all like everybody does. That's the goal each and every year. But at the same time, we wanted to play some quality opponents. And so that's why we played, your Marist, your Trinity Christians, and then McCauley early on in our non-region schedule, and had a really, really just a solid, a great competitive game at McCauley that came up short. That's something we look back on, wishing we can do it again. And of course, we will again this upcoming year. The biggest goal was win the region, which we did. And then once we got in the playoffs, we beat a very, very good Lee County team. Let me tell you something. They obviously traveled up to play at Woodward. They got off the buses, and they were like 120 of those kids, getting off the bus. We roll out our 58 kids, and you watch before, prior to the game, stretching wise, they almost appeared like they almost had two times as many kids as we did. And that was a big win, and of course then we run into that juggernaut of Langston Hughes. We were beat up by that time. We were beat up injury wise by that time, but they were a really, really good team. We gave them all we could. We just couldn't hang with them. And so there was no dishonor losing to those guys. I told that to our guys after the game, keep chin up. Now that's a good team and they're going to win it, which they did, So for the most part, real proud of our guys, just the way they came together, the way they play hard, the way they played through injuries, and really had a really good season.
You guys did. And you really gave them a good punch. I saw in the first half, you guys were leading. I believe the score was tied, but you guys had a lead out in that game. And just, what do you recount kind of from that game? What kind of happened in the second half? It was tied going to halftime. I know you said the injuries and kind of been beat up, but just, what kind of happened in the second half? It looked like Hughes just kind of went on that kind of scoring run.
Right. They were really, really good. We came out, we thought we had a pretty good plan, both offensively and defensively. They made a few tweaks. So coaching wise, they did a really good job tweaking some things for us as well. But we made some plays, and we were able to go into the game at halftime tied. And the bad part about it, we missed a field goal there. We could have gone in there leading. I don't think they've ever been behind all year. I'm not sure. But that would have been something. But even after that, at halftime, going in there tied, I felt exhausted, to be honest with you. It's almost like we were treading water, because we were almost like pushing a rock uphill because they were so good. And you know, I didn't know how many, you know, things we had left that we could, in the second half and go at them. And their coaches, I think, did a good job. They took them in a locker room, settled them down and challenged them and just say, listen, we are bigger than those guys are. Let's just come out and mash the ball. And they came out, got a three and out. I mean, they drove the ball 80 yards, scored, got another three and out. They scored. And, you know, but after that, we were definitely, you know, pushing the rock uphill by then. Now they just came out in the second half and just said, you know, enough screwing around, let's run the ball. And then we got some, you know, some of our best players, you know, beat up. We were playing without AJ Hoffler, who's, you know, he's signed and going to Clemson. And you lose a guy of his caliber like we did early in the year, you could almost never replace it. And then of course Miles Graham, who is a great player, committed to Florida for us as a junior. I mean, he had a bum shoulder he was playing with, and I had to kind of use him on a couple third and fourth and short. So he took some heavy hits on that offensively. And then he wasn't able to finish the game. But with all due credit, you gotta give Langston Hughes all the credit in the world. They were a good team, obviously. Should have beaten Buford the year before and was able to do seal the deal this year. So but we gave them all we had. I know that. You know, so
And for you, Coach, how challenging is it? You mentioned the Lee County game, them bringing off 120 kids, and then, you know, year in, year out, you know, you're not going to have as many. You know, you said you had the 58. How challenging is that year to year, Coach, being able to deal with not having as many players, but using them at their most effective and being kind of a more like efficient with them, being that you don't have the capacity or you don't have as many players as other teams do when you go face the playoffs?
Right. I mean, that is a challenge now. You know, GHSA punitively obviously want to, you know, keep pushing us up in classification. We're about 3A in school. I think we've got around 1050 kids, 1080, somewhere around there, you know, and a lot of people don't understand, you know, about 25% of our population is Middle Eastern and Asian, and they culturally, they just don't play football, you know, so the pool of kids that we pull from is not very deep. But we have what we have, and we're blessed with a very, very, very good coaching staff that do a tremendous job with our guys. But we have many players that have to go both ways, you know, obviously, because of that. Now, as coaches, what we try to do with our kids that are that good and need to go both ways, we kind of say, okay, you're a full-time player, say, on defense and a part-time player on offense. And then we'll go out and try to find that other 50% player, you know, so that's where we can really manage our kids' conditioning, manage our kids' health throughout the season. That's something we got to do. And you say if he's a full-time offensive player, part-time defensive player, we got to find that other half on defense. And, right. And our staff, you know, knock on wood, for the most part, has been together for, you know, most of my entire time here. And we got a great working relationship with those guys. And so that's how we just go about, you know, putting our team together and our best guys on the field. What's kind of showing up is now that we're way up in 6A, where you play all these teams that have, you know, they have their 11 starters on offense and 11 starters on defense. And when they practice, you know, each and every day, they're separate. You know, offense one end, defense goes on the other. They may get together for, you know, inside drill or something like that to go good on good. But they're literally practicing 2 hours on offense and say 2 hours on defense. You know, the difference here with us, we can't do that. So each day we come out, we have an hour in offense, and then we turn around and have an hour of defense. You know, wow. So, you know, not only do we not have a bunch of kids, we don't have as much time that is afforded to us. So we'll get probably 3.5 hours a week of offense and 3.5 hours a week of defense in the practice time. Whereas, you know, the big 6A teams that have, you know, two separate practices in essence, you know, gets, you know, let me say 2, 4, 6. You know, 7 hours, you know, they get almost twice as much time to coach their kids. So, but I got to give ours credits. They're sharp kids, they're wonderful kids, very coachable kids, intelligent. So they're able to grasp the things we're coaching and then put the time in. So, so because of that, you know, we're able to, you know, be successful.
Definitely. And Coach, tell me, like right now, we're, heading into spring. It's late, well, mid-February now. What's your kind of off-season program look like at Woodward Academy? When do you start doing, the conditioning, the weight training, and things like that? And then when will you have your spring game?
I got you. Well, obviously, we want to encourage our players, as many players as possible, if they want to play another sport, to play another sport, because it'll transition. For example, one of our best receivers is a gentleman named Ben Grice for us. He was a junior for us last year. He was our best lacrosse player. And then he played his JV his sophomore year, but then he comes his junior year and he was uncoverable. We're like, holy smoke, where did this come from? And I do attribute some of the stuff that he does on the cross transferring over to football. So first of all, we encourage our kids to do that now, and many of them do. But those that don't, I require them to come in and lift after school every afternoon from 4 to 5, Monday through Thursday. Now, that is a supplemental workout, because what we generally do, we have weightlifting classes during the day, but we have a rotating class period. So some days they may lift, some days they may not because of the rotation. After a long study I did last year, I found out if you were taking the class during the day, you're probably coming up anywhere between 28 to 30% less workouts, depending on what. Well, so what I did is I really encouraged heavily for our guys to come to what we call zero period. So I would say the bulk of our varsity football players, come in at 7:30 in the morning every day, and they lift from 7:30 to 8:15. And that has been really, really big for us. Not only are we able to get all four of our lifts a weekend, even during the season, but the guys are together, pushing each other, holding everybody accountable. I knew that was a big thing, but I just didn't realize just how big of a thing that was until this past year. And then it really served us well. So we got most of our guys coming in zero period, lifting from, 7:30 to 8:15. We get our core lifts. And then after school, they come in and do a supplemental workout in addition to, because obviously we're confined by, time in the morning. So they'll come by in the afternoon and finish up with some supplemental lifts. So we lift about, those who are not playing another sport, we lift basically 2 hours a day, Monday through Thursday. That's where we got to make our hay here at Woodward, because we're not the biggest team. You know what I mean? We don't have a, six, like Langston Hughes was about 6'5", 300 across the board. We don't have many, if any. We don't have one of those walking the halls here at Woodward. So we got to go in the weight room and get our work done there. And as I mentioned before, there's been great years and then not so great years. I think if you look back, in our fairly recent history, we had 2 7-5 seasons. And one of them, we kind of lost our way in the weight room because what I felt to be just a lack of senior leadership. And the other one, COVID pushed us out of the weight room. We couldn't lift. And both of them ended with a bunch of injuries and then, 7 to 5 seasons. But when we're able to get into that weight room and put our work in there, it's really served us well. And I think, and as I mentioned at the beginning of this, I can't say enough about our senior leaders as far as setting the bar. I mean, my best players are in the weight room working the hardest. And so all those younger players look up and say, hey, I got to do this. This is what is normal. And so we've got something going, which, be frank, we haven't always had it here. But we've got it going now in the weight room. And hopefully that'll just continue. It certainly has thus far in this offseason. We're excited about that. I think another question you asked was spring football.
Yes, spring game, sir.
Historically, we try to get our 10 days in May. Because we're battling field space and everything around here, and my coaches as well are, my co-defensive coordinators, one's the head girls golf coach, the other one's the head boys and girls track coach. You know what I mean? So they're busy, and so we push everything back there towards May, probably the first 2 weeks in May, and we generally get our 10 days in and have an inter-squad scrimmage. We really don't, have a scrimmage against another team. We're contemplating it this year, you know what I mean? But you know, but as of right now, you know, no decision as far as a playing an opponent in the spring game, even though we're contemplating it.
Gotcha, coach. And as you mentioned, and thing that's another to me in this interview is senior leadership and how important that is in the weight room and carrying that over into the season and the practices and things like that. So you are losing one of your senior quarterbacks, Jalen Woods, who committed to Southern and signed there. So what can you really kind of expect from that group going into this season? Who is a guy or two that you're expecting to step up at the QB position going into next year?
That's a good question. Jalen did a wonderful job for us. I saw him and his mom there and dad at signing day, and I thanked them. I said, "Listen, I thank you for bringing, you know, Jalen over when he did, because at that time, you know, we had Mike Wright had graduated, and we really didn't have anybody greased up. We had a baseball player we were trying to, you know, train up as fast as we could, and he ended up, you know, just quitting and playing baseball." And so he came in at a perfect time, did a wonderful job for us. And we wish him best as he goes on to college. Now, coming in the next quarter, whoever that might be, you know, with some of our receivers coming back in terms of like our best receiver, Ben Grice, Josiah Abdullah, I mean, good players. And of course, we got Jerome Bettis Jr. coming in, and, you know, he looks pretty. I can't wait to go out there and see what all he can do. And so they're kind of getting handed the keys to the Ferrari a little bit, you know what I mean? But you know, our rising senior coming in here would be a Griffin Marshall. Griffin Marshall has gotten some significant minutes. You know, 2 years ago when Jalen had, I think he separated his AC joint, and he missed about three games. Griff got in there and got a good quality minutes as a sophomore. Wasn't ready for prime time, but he got that, you know, quality minutes on the fire. And then this year, I think Jalen missed two games as well with a foot injury. And he got in there, you know, and got some really good quality minutes. His progress from his sophomore year to junior year in terms of understanding the offense and what we're trying to do is light years. So very, very encouraged. I think we challenged him. I think his biggest area he needed improvement was just physical conditioning, just getting bigger and stronger as he can, because, you know, we need him not just in the first game. We need him the last game of the season, you know, and playing in 6A, you got to be physically fit. And I tip my hat for him. Griff comes as a quarterback now. He's every day at zero period, comes every day after school and lifting. So he's doing his part. So he would probably be the guy, the leader, because he's got the most experience coming back. And I challenged him early. I said, just because you turn around and you don't look at right now and seeing somebody breathing down your neck, don't get complacent, because that's not how it works out. Everything's on merit. And he hasn't been. So I got to give Griff, he's excited about the opportunity or the chance that he has to lead this team next year. After that, we had a youngster move in, Charles Maxell, who he had played at Lovett. He came here mid-year for us. And he's a wonderful guy. Just take Charles Maxell and Jerome. They came mid-year. And we started the school day on a Wednesday. So that week, that we had five workouts on the first week. And Maxell was there, all five of them. You know what I mean? I said, I don't know what he can do on a football field yet, but I love him because he was here 5 days. Now, Jerome, same way. Jerome was four out of five. But, you know, and he had to take a French placement test. And I said, okay, I get that. You know what I mean? But those are the type of guys that we like, you know, and Maxell, for example, Charles, he's eager to learn. You know, we started meeting now once a week, quarterback wise, just start talking about offense and putting things in. And he will have an opportunity. He is a sophomore this year. He'll be a rising junior. He's athletic. He can throw the ball, and wonderful character kid. So he'll have an opportunity to push Griff and get that job. And then after that, we have a young pup, Henry Couch. And Henry come up through Woodward, been through Woodward a long time. Was the quarterback in our middle school, and he was a quarterback in our freshman and sophomore years in JV. Physically, he's a guy that needed to develop as well now. And he's another guy who comes to zero period and after school every day trying to develop. Because so all those guys realized the opportunity, both Henry, Charles, and Griff, that they have. And so they're working hard in the offseason. I'm excited about that. And then what we'll do starting in spring is, we'll try to equal all the reps with those guys. That'll lead into summer throwing. We did five, passing camps, different colleges, Georgia, Auburn, Tennessee. I think in total over the summer, we did seven, in which, we fly a drone, we video everything, so we can not only, coach off the video. I think this year with our quarterback competition, we're going to have to go back and grade the quarterbacks, and really look hard at who's the furthest along and who's going to, got a chance to lead a team in the fall. So there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of work ahead for those guys to do it. I do know now they're eager, and they are certainly putting in the time now. So I'm excited.
Yes, and I want to talk about both sides of the ball now, Coach, offensively and defensively. Offensive, you already mentioned your skill players, Josiah Abdullah, Ben Grice, Jerome Bettis coming in. But you have a bunch of top-rated players on 247 Sports. Coach, I want to start first with the skill positions. What allowed kind of Ben Grice to take that next step forward this season? And he's gotten a plethora of offers, just Coastal Carolina, Ole Miss, just a bunch. Just want to allow him to take that step forward this year. And then talk a little bit more about those skill positions. And then defensively, Miles Graham, CJ Hurd coming in for another season. Andrew Hines, you got a bunch of players that could make the impact next year that has been great, the past couple of years. What are you excited about most from both sides of the ball?
Starting about that, you mentioned the offensive side of the ball and the skill there with, Ben, going into last year, we didn't exactly know what we had in Ben. We did in Josiah. Josiah is a very dynamic player, strong, fearless, attacks the ball when he goes and receives the ball. And we were having a great summer 7-on-7, and he was slowed by an injury. We had to kind of shut him down for about a month. And when we did that, Ben kind of emerged, out of this thing. And we're like, wow, we got a pretty good player. Andrew Hines, you mentioned him, who's going to end up being literally a 3-year, 2-way starter for us. That's pretty amazing. And
right.
And he got nicked up and injured in the summer throwing. So he was slowed a little bit. So we had, with Josiah and Andrew kind of nicked up, everything sort of went to Ben. And then next, Ben is, just a great player. And he ends up being, uncoverable. What's amazing is, people say, hey, let's just get up and play press, I mean, you can't press the guy. I mean, his feet are so good. He's so quick, and he get off the ball. And again, I think I attribute that a little bit of what he does in the cross and him being such a great player there. And so that translated. And so that's really good. Now, skill-wise, offensively, who was a tremendous surprise for us was a youngster, a sophomore named Lucas Farrington. Going into we knew he was a good little player, but he's kind of always been slowed with injuries. And didn't know exactly what we had. And now we had Miles Graham. I'll talk further on defense for him. But, Miles Graham's daddy, Ernest, was at Florida when I was coaching there. And he was an unbelievable college and pro player. And he's coaching for us as well, bringing a lot of good stuff with him. But we were going in there with Miles as the quarterback. And, first game, I think Miles went over 100 yards and had a heck of a game. Second game, he was solid too. And then the third game against Maris, I think it might have been the first drive, he laid the ball on the ground for the first time. So we just rolled Lucas in there. And the next thing you know, Lucas goes off for over 100 yards. And we're like, holy smoke, look at this kid. So that was a blessing right there. And we look forward. And of course, he got slowed. And he missed, 3 or 4 games towards the end of the year. If we can keep him healthy next year, we look for really exciting things out of Lucas and Miles on the offensive side of the ball. I'm trying to remember if I'm, you know, forgetting anybody skill-wise. And here's another individual I'll talk about on defense, but, you know, C.J. Hurd,
yes,
great player on defense. You know, he ended up being our, like, the latter part of the Langston Hughes game. We had four running backs at the beginning of the season. At second half of the Langston Hughes, we had zero. And so we had to take CJ and put him at tailback. And in the short time and the few things that he did with us there, I mean, I was like, wow. I said, this guy has got a little something in his tank that can help us offensively. Now, knowing he will end up being a four-year starter for us on defense and how valuable he is on defense, I've got to find a role for him on offense, you know, get that ball to him in space, because not only is he thick and strong, he's fast and fearless, and he wants to, you know, that's the type of kid he is. He wants to help the team in any way he can. So that's exciting right there. And so, you know, we got some pretty good skilled people coming back. We got some work to do in the offensive line offensively. We graduated some really good players. Bryce Burnett was a two-year starter for us, would have been a three-year, but he broke his leg his sophomore year. And then Jalen Tate, who was a three-year two-way starter for us. And so those two guys would be hard to replace. I got some Bradley Smith coming back really from good. Us. Yeah, he's a good player, and we're so blessed to have him. Jacob Lemieux's coming back, and Mount Hakeem coming back. Those guys got a lot of minutes on there. There's two spots I need to fill. Those voids, we fill those, I think we'll be okay. Real excited about the tight end situation that we have, and I love tight ends now. You know, obviously we have Andrew, who's been our 11 personnel tight end. London Merritt, we'll talk more on defense, but he's a good both a 21 and 11 personnel tight end for us. A young long player that we're really excited about is Richard Walford, who had a great throwing session with us all last summer, and he's a rugby player too. On the last rugby whatever tournament or whatever before, I think we started on August 1st, he had a rugby tournament. On the last rugby tournament of the summer, he broke his leg and we lost him for the season. But we're getting him back, and he's long. He's a 6'3", 210, 215-pound guy who can run. So we like our skill, you know, offensively. But transition over on defense, historically here at Woodward, we're really known for playing solid defense, you know, going back to when Greg Vandegrift was here, the head coach at Prince Avenue, he was here for many years. And I mean, we were just great on defense. And when he left, I have elevated Bill McGuire and Coach Ryan Davis, their co-coordinators. And they work unbelievably well together. You know, they know what each other's thinking, and what we do at defensively is such a sort of check with me on the line of scrimmage stuff, and communication is huge. And those guys working together, almost flawless. You know, they do a tremendous job, and that's huge for us. And that's why we've been so successful defensively. Now, we have been blessed with some good players, obviously. You know, and we've lost some good ones. You know, especially in AJ Hoffler, and who's going to Clemson. River Hanson's going to Duke. Spencer Snipe was a three-year starter at Mike. He's going to Washington U. Jalen Tate, as I mentioned, he's graduating. He's going to Yale. So we've lost some good players, but obviously we've got some good players coming back. As I mentioned, at the Rover spot, C.J. Hurd. He's right now, he's got offers from everybody. He's committed to Florida State, even though I'm a Gator. You know, that's where I played. So I don't know about that. But wonderful, wonderful individual. And, you know, and he came here, quote, as a running back. And then early on, we double train everybody because, you know, we're Woodward. We're not real big. And we learned early on, when he was a true freshman, he had an uncanny ability to tackle. He's a good tackler. So next thing you know, he's starting as a true freshman, started ever since. Incredibly intelligent. Incredibly intelligent and a leader out there and physical. And as I mentioned, I hope to use him a little bit and find a role on offense for him. But he's been our rover for 4 years, or will be our rover for 4 years. The team MVP last year was Miles Graham. As I mentioned, Miles came to us mid-year last year from down South Florida, the Fort Myers area. And again, I knew his dad from years ago, and his dad is a wonderful, wonderful man. And he brought Miles up here, and let me tell you something. He rolls in here, and pretty soon he became a leader of the team by his work ethic. I mean, he is truly a top 1%, you know, work ethic. And then, of course, during the season when he nicked up his shoulder, of course, playing offense, you know, nicked up his shoulder, we kind of kept him out a couple games, and then he came back and finished the season even though his shoulder wasn't 100%. So if he didn't have the complete respect of the team before that, I certainly did afterwards, because, you know, he was there, you know, during the thick and thin, even though he wasn't 100%. So, and Miles, you know, again, he's such a team guy, a wonderful player. You know, he started out playing, I think, Sam for us. You know, we were blessed with a bunch of linebackers last year. So, hey, let's get our best players on the field. We actually moved into a stand-up five, you know, for 3 or 4 games. And just to get our best players on the field, then we had a few injuries, and I think he ended up playing Will, linebacker. That's a tribute to him, you know, and his intelligence to handle everything, and our coaches, to get it done. But, you know, he's a good player for us. Andrew Hines, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when he finishes his career here, he's going to end up being like a 3-year, 2-way starter for us. Because, again, he plays linebacker and my 11 personnel tight end. Interesting note with him, when he was a true freshman, he actually probably started maybe 1 or 2 games at defensive end for us. You know, got beat up injury-wise because he physically wasn't ready for it. But he's a very smart, good player for us. And he's another guy, as I mentioned, he played, you know, Will for us for a while. And at the end of the season, he was playing Sam. And again, he's a good player. We're blessed to have him coming back. Trying to think now, really, up defensively, we were blessed mid-year. And then we got him in the summer, a gentleman named London Merritt. London Merritt came here. I think he was at Marist as a freshman and came over here in the summer. He's actually cousins, I believe that's how it is, with Lucas Farrington. And their family said, hey, you know, bring London over to Woodward. And he comes over and didn't know exactly what we had. All I know, he's looked pretty. But I tell you what, now, he was a tremendous player for us on the defensive front, very disrupting, powerful. Great. I mean, but he does a great job, you know, he's got, you know, versatility to him. I mean, he can play a one tech, he can play a three. We're contemplating, you know, put him at five, you know, play defensive end, you know, so he has a good football IQ. He's a very intelligent young man, and was really, really good